Welcome to Into the Night. I'm Nari, your guide on today's excursion down a twisted path. Be careful not to get lost. Be it dark or light, it's easy to lose your way. Are you ready? Then let's begin. That place in between. Mascara-filled tears streaked her wrinkled cheeks as Elaine Sutherland nervously tapped the steering wheel of her car. Tapping turned into pounding as she thought about what she was driving from and the uncertainty of what she was driving to. Starting over was never easy. Elaine glanced around the interior of her loaded vehicle. A hasty exit caused her to cram her belongings haphazardly into the car she'd grown to detest. She hated the model. She hated the color. More than anything, she hated Catherine Gates for buying it for her before she so viciously turned on her.
Friends don't turn on each other. I can't think about that right now, though. I have too much to do to wallow in my pain.
Too much to do was questionable. Now that she was on the road, the only thing she could do was focus on the yellow lines whizzing past her. Too much time to think on the journey brought waves of anger and fear, but mainly musings on how to turn her sudden misfortune into a positive. While she loved driving, the recent hurricane complicated her travels. 3 nights stuck in a hotel dug into her pocketbook and gave her far too much time to dwell on the lifetime of poor decisions she'd made. Never one to fixate on her own shortcomings, however, her mind drifted to the countless times others had let her down.
How did I end up like this? Homeless, with nothing to show for an otherwise wonderful life. There was a time when I was somebody.
Where did it all begin? As any good psychologist will tell his client, it began in her childhood. Vivian and Rourke Sutherland doted on their darling Elaine, but that didn't stop them from ruining her life. Yes, she'd grown up in nice houses, wearing designer clothes, traveling, and having what others considered a charmed life, but they didn't understand the hell she'd endured. Who were her parents to decide what their little princess should be? Who were they to lie to her about family secrets? Who were they to leave her, well, destitute? She slapped her phone down hard on the seat next to her. She liked the feeling of slamming it. She was good at slamming things. It gave her a sense of power and released pent-up frustration. She had plenty of rage within her. A sweet smile and a sugary southern drawl covered the anger most of the time. It was those moments when her facade fell that caused her most of her grief. The miles droned on as she thought about her failed marriage and the wasted time and energy spent on men who never followed through. There had been many. Once youthful and beautiful, Elaine captured the attention of many dashing men. Still, none of them in the end were what she needed. Was it her lot in life to always be alone? She hoped not. At her age, however, it was a growing possibility, and the aged face she saw in the mirror angered her more than the past hurts she'd received from a cheating husband and erroneous boyfriends. She hated what she saw in the mirror. Appearances meant more to Elaine than they should, and she hated herself for looking like the haggard old woman she now was. She straightened her back and raised her chin. Now was no time to entertain the idea that life passed her by. She was better than her current conditions, she told herself. All her self-doubts fueled her desire to appear better than she was to others. She was in distress, and she had to come up with a plan. Wasn't life a constant scheme anyway? The rebuilding of her persona began far before Catherine rudely cast her out of her house. Elaine carefully wove a tale of her host's shortcomings to everyone she knew. She carefully sewed ugly details of Catherine's life to acquaintances, neighbors, and even some of Catherine's family members. She always couched her words as concern for her dear friend Catherine, who just didn't have it all together. It was a defense tactic Elaine had used for decades, and she was pleased with how well she perfected it over the years.
If this doesn't work out, at least I will still look like the good person I am. That mindset saw her through one backstabbing after another. Subtle comments, and others not so subtle, highlighting the downtrodden nature of her existence, maintained a level of sympathy for her that worked like a charm time and again. She was careful to be discreet. Yes, discretion was important. She kicked herself for letting herself slip. Catherine was never supposed to see those private messages. Elaine accidentally sent them to her instead of to their rightful recipient. Even so, Catherine shouldn't have been so angry. Just because Elaine had described Catherine as heartless and despicable was no reason for her to lose her cool. She'd chosen those words for dramatic effect. The fault still fell on Catherine. After all, it was nothing that true friendship shouldn't forgive. A mere slip from anger and nothing more. Catherine was cruel to hold her accountable for meaningless words. Still, it was unfortunate that she'd sent Catherine those messages by mistake. It certainly ended her plans and forced her to search for another avenue in the world. It was clear she couldn't stay. Catherine became unbearable after people revealed the whispered complaints Elaine made to them. So she truly had no other choice but to leave. What a pity. Why can't people keep private conversations private? The idea that her carefully placed comments came to light dismayed Elaine. What's wrong with people these days? It was meaningless now, just a blip on the radar. Catherine had served her purpose. 3 years ago, Elaine faced possible trouble with the law. It was a shame her cousin had died, and it was a travesty that the hospital contacted the authorities. Yes, after all she had done for her cousin, they had the gall to claim she'd been neglected. Sepsis happens. It wasn't her fault that she lived with Peggy during the time her health took such an unfortunate turn, for the worse. I was practically Peggy's slave, and for some reason, the authorities blame me for her decline. Ridiculous. I simply couldn't have them start digging around into my parents' deaths. No, that wouldn't do. Of course, she hadn't revealed the nature of her distress to Catherine Gates at the time. None the wiser, Catherine's offer to let her stay with her led to Elaine's escape to the godforsaken boonies where she'd lived rent and utility free. Such as it was, she'd also gotten a new car out of Catherine's good graces. It was a good gig, even if she couldn't stand the country living Catherine so enjoyed. Poor Catherine. There truly is one born every minute. Elaine chuckled. She was nothing to me, really. Convenience. Now, I must focus on what's ahead. I'm almost to Eloise's house and a fresh start. Chin up. At that moment, she was brought back to the present by the road closed sign blocking her way. Sand blown into towering dunes by the hurricane made this route impossible. Damn. More bad luck. She beat her hands upon the steering wheel. She must think of what to do next. Gas was low in her car, and she really hadn't wanted to spend another precious dime of the money Gerald kindly sent her for her escape. Someday, she'd find a way to repay him. Or not. That was immaterial at the moment. She'd been in tight situations before, and had always landed on her feet. This time would be no different. The chiming of her phone caused her to jump. Yes, Sharon, I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for checking on me. This ordeal with Catherine has devastated me. She checked her dye job in the mirror to see if she covered all the gray. Yes, I know. I'm hoping Eloise isn't expecting me to take care of her, too. Catherine worked me like a dog around her place. And I fear Eloise may do the same. I've told you how demanding she can be. Frankly, I'm staying with Eloise as a favor to her. It seems to be my calling in life, helping people who can't take care of themselves. The conversation continued for a few moments.
subtle hints that this may not be a permanent situation, of how she was dubious of Eloise's mental state, and what that might mean for Elaine, were sprinkled throughout the call. It's always good to have a backup plan. After all, I'm a good person. At that moment, Elaine Sutherland was able to relax her guard. She was at that place in between her last con job and her next.
Thank you for joining me for Into the Night, an anthology series written by Caroline Giamanco, narration and sound design by Nari Kwok, theme music by Nico Rodriguez. All original music and editing in part provided by Flyboy Entertainment. You can find our links in the show notes. Please remember to like and subscribe, and if you enjoy what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review to help other excursionists to join us. You can find us on your favorite podcast directory. See you next time. And remember, whether in the shadows or in the daylight, all twisted paths take you into the night. Into the Night is a Creative Typo Entertainment production.